Thanks for joining us online. You're about to hear Pastor Mekon share a message from our Just One More series. In this series, he'll be talking about the heart behind everything we do here at Morningstar. If this ministry has impacted you, we would love for you to partner with us financially. You can do that by visiting our website and clicking on donate. Thanks again, and God bless.
It's the day that we take our Just One More offering. You know, we've been in prayer and expectation. Our staff, our leadership team has been making what we call hard moves here at the church, and just dreaming big, dreaming some crazy, ridiculous beliefs, asking God to do the unthinkable. You know, it's amazing, just 2 years ago, if you ever go on our website, you can look at all of our messages from the previous years. And just 2 years ago, 2011, January 2011, I make this statement at the very beginning of the message where I go, "Church, we're having a record-breaking attendance for our 9:30 service. We have 130 people." And I kind of chuckled, like, oh my goodness. God is really at work. Like, we can't take credit for it. We can't manufacture this. We don't have a chart that states if you do this and this and this, people are going to come and lives are going to get changed. Matter of fact, everyone who tries to create one, every church tries to follow it, and it doesn't work. We just really learned to ride the wave. Wherever God was taking us, whatever God was challenging us to do, whatever God required of us, however God, whenever, whatever, we're all in. And here we are again at this pivotal moment in our church where God comes in and he asks and requires something from us that pushes us yet again to a new limit, to a new level. And I just have to believe, like I did when we had 50 people and we said, "God, we're believing to go to two services one day." And I just have to believe, like when we prayed and believed God again and we had to go to three services. I just have to believe that when we asked for an offering to start our children's ministry, that what was on the other end of our obedience was far greater than what we saw before. I just have to believe that yet again, like 2 years ago when we took a big give offering, which some of you participated in, and we wanted to open up a wing for our junior hires and expand our children's ministry. And we went from literally 20 kids in our children's ministry, and the 2 weeks later had nearly 75. And we started with 30 kids in our junior high, and 2 months later we had 130. I just gotta believe that when God asked us to go big and go to Yakima Bear Stadium to do Easter, and we didn't know what to expect, but we put our faith out on the line, not knowing what the weather was going to be like, not knowing what was going to be predictable, but yet then again, God superseded our faith. We did what we could do, and then he did what he could do. And he brought over 2,500 people, and 500 people gave their lives to Jesus. And then I just have to believe that yet again, that here we are in this moment again, where God's going, just dream bigger. Just go further. Just stretch yourself just a little bit further. And I just have to believe that what was on the end of our obedience before, you don't even know what God's going to do. But what I do know is whatever the heck he decides to do is going to be far greater than what we can plan, predict, conjure up. And you know, some of this stuff, for some of you who might be new to our church and we're getting ready to take this offering, you might go, man, that's so crazy. Man, Christians are weird. I used to think that too. And then I started seeing the one mores pop up. And the people find purpose. And can I... I'm taking all my preaching time, but oh well. You know, there are so many people, even in this room, and you don't get to see it because you only come to this service, but in the other services, we have to pull out chairs because can't everyone fit? And it's super crowded, and we don't know what we're going to do. This building literally can't hold us anymore. And I just look around and I see all these people who gain purpose and identity and favor and families restored and marriages restored. Some of you didn't know Jesus at all, and you came to our church and found a man who loved you like no other man. Some of you were addicted and found our church, and God revolutionized your life. You are a completely different person. Some of you knew Jesus, served Jesus, and found our church, and a light bulb went off that you never even knew was there, and you found a greater purpose and a greater identity. And it's not because we have the secret ingredient. It's simply because we're willing to ride the wave. And I'm asking our church to ride a wave. Just one more. One more time. And at the other end of this, I could almost promise you, there's thousands. There's thousands of people's lives hinging on the other end of our obedience. And right now, our obedience is bringing God a gift, whatever gift that He asked you to bring. For some of you, it might be $5. For others of you, it might be tens of thousands of dollars. That's not for me to decide. But I hope you have the attitude that says this: God, I'm willing to ride the wave. I'm willing to extend myself so that someone else can feel, experience, and have everything that I have. So, if you can close your eyes with me, bow your head, I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to receive this offering. Father God, we just pray right now, God, that You would do a mighty work in our life. God, that You would always keep us before You humble, that You would always keep us sensitive to Your Holy Spirit, that God, we would stretch ourselves even sometimes beyond where we think our capacity can go. And God, more importantly, God, we pray that our city is reached with the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that they see Him, that they experience Him, that our church would be used by You to continue to introduce people to You, that our church would be used by You to continue to draw out the inner man and the inner woman that is in each and every one of us. God, I pray that You'll continue to use our church to challenge us, to grow us, to stretch us, to push us, and pull us further than we ever dreamt possible. And God, I pray that this never gets old, that people getting saved, people getting baptized, marriages restored, addictions being broken off, all that and then some, never gets old. And God, I pray that we never lose our awe of You, that You always stay the center of our life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Go ahead with me, if you will, and grab one of those envelopes. Whether you're putting anything in it or not, just grab one of those envelopes this morning. Whether you're putting anything in it or not, ushers are coming by. They have pens available for you. Three ways you can give. Let me clarify this particular offering. Every dollar that comes in this offering is going to go to our Just One More offering. If you have tithes that you typically bring from week to week, or from month to month, you can designate that in the tithe area. That way we can know that this is your tithe. But this offering is above and beyond what we already decide to bring to God. So don't substitute it. Huh? Yeah, we'll do our tithing normally at the end. But this is just one more offering. And all this is going to go to help us launch what God has placed in our heart. And we're believing that God is going to blow our minds with what he's going to bring in today. So hopefully that's already came. Hopefully you're filling that out. I just want to pray one more time. Give people a little bit more time to fill that out. I'm going to pray. And then ushers, if you can come and receive that. Father God, once again, everyone that's giving today, God, I pray blessing upon their life. God, I pray that they will see supernatural provision. God, those that have sacrificed income tax and sacrificed their tips, those that have been setting aside some of their vacation money, or who knows how people are pulling their resources to dedicate them to building your house. But God, I pray that you'll see that sacrifice. God, I pray that you'll see that obedience. God, I'm glad that you don't look at the amount, but you look at the motive of our heart. And God, I pray for those that are in this room that just don't feel led to give. That's okay. God, I pray you'll bless them as well. God, I pray that there will be a blessing on our church. God, I pray we'll be marked with generosity. And God, I pray your will be done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Come on, let's give a clap. God's going to do some great things. Ushers, host, you can bring that down. They'll be picking that up. As they're coming, go ahead and grab your Bible in one hand. You got your envelope in the other hand. Go ahead and grab your Bible. Heidi, thank you. Makes me feel better with that music behind me. Give it up for Heidi. I love that. If you're new to our church, we don't take just one more offering every week, but we just want to be obedient to God. And honestly, if you are new, the reason why we're taking that offering is for you. We want you to have the best experience with Jesus as possible. And we want to do everything we can as a church to help people like you, your friends and family, come and see God for who he really is. And so that's our heart. That's our intent. And I hope that you can feel that this morning. Today, I'm in a series entitled Just One More. Say, Just One More. We're in a series entitled Just One More. This is what we do here at Morningstar Church. In our city, there was a census pulled in 2010 that said there are 74,675 in our city people. 74,675 people in our city who have declared publicly. They just said, you know what? I'm not a follower of Jesus. They could be a different religion or don't believe in God at all. And what that means to me and to us as a church who believe in Jesus, that we've got 74,675 people that we need to show them who Jesus really is. Because unfortunately for us, what we believe is if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that we are facing the inevitable where we will spend eternity in hell. And I don't wish that on anybody. And at the same time, I also know how stubborn people can be, because I was one of those people who said, I don't need it. Don't tell me about it. It's my life. I really wasn't convinced. And part of it was we just had some horrible public relations. Some people who did not display or introduce Jesus properly in a way that we can handle it. So today and this series, we want to kind of help break that up for us. There's a parable in Luke chapter 15, and it starts out where there's two groups of people. The Bible says that sinners, notorious tax collectors, and all other kinds of sinners came and listened to Jesus intently. And then there's another group of people that were Pharisees and leaders of the religious law. They taught the law. They taught the Bible. So basically, you got your haves and you got your have-nots, so to speak. And the Pharisees made this comment. They're like, why does Jesus hang out and eat and associate with them? And it was almost like they're snobby, looking down on people who got sin in their life, struggles. And Jesus, he goes, well, fellas, let me tell you guys a story. And so Jesus is having this story, this dialogue between the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law, people who followed God to the best of their ability, and people who did life on their own and were suffering the repercussions of their own choices, their sin. So Jesus is having this conversation. And so here's where we're going to pick up today. He starts out with this parable of the lost sheep. And then the very next thing he talks about is this woman. And it's found in Luke chapter 15, verse 8 through 10. It says this. Or imagine a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and scour the house, looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she'll call all her friends and neighbors, celebrate with me, I found my lost coin. Count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time. Let me say it again. That's the kind of party that God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. Say one. One. This is what we have to wrap our mind around. Just one. Just one. You don't have to change the world. You don't have to save the world. All you got to do is just one. I think sometimes we make this so difficult that we feel like, oh my goodness, everyone in Yakima's going to hell and I don't know what to do and I got to do something, I got to do something. No. Just focus on one. All you got to do, focus on one. And when you find one, guess what? There's another one. And when you get one, then there's another one. I love it because Jesus is just trying to make this very simple. He's trying to do two things. He's trying to say, look, one is very valuable to me. All heaven throws a party like this when just one. So one is very valuable. But it's also a lesson to us to say, don't overcomplicate it. Just get one. Just get one person to come to church with you. Get one person to come hang out with you. Get one person. You know how many people are here because one person? Got one person who got one person who got one person. They don't even know how that person got here, but seven other people down the road is the one who got the one who got the one who got the, am I making sense? And so you have to understand this. See, I love this text. We're going to break this down. Last week, we talked about the lost sheep, and we talked about how sheep are just dumb, and sheep get lost because they're dumb. Like, unintentionally, they don't mean to, they're not trying to, they're just eating grass, and then a butterfly. Oh, butterfly. Butterfly. Oh, I'm lost. And that's how some people, where it starts out with, I think what God is saying is, a majority of the people get lost unintentionally. They get hooked on a drug unintentionally. They lose their marriage unintentionally. They don't wake up going, yep, one day I hope I get a divorce and my kids are going to hate me my whole life. Yes. They don't do that. It starts with a conversation that leads to flirtation, that leads to late night phone conversations, which leads to now I'm hanging out with them, which leads to now I touch you, which leads to, ooh, we kissed, and then, ooh, we had sex, and now my husband left me. And so it wasn't like I meant to do it. People who are hooked on narcotics, drugs, alcohol, don't wake up and go, yep, when I grow up, I'm going to be hooked on heroin. Right. They don't do that. It starts out with, I'm just going to smoke this cigarette with my friend, and then I'm going to turn into this weed, then I'm going to turn into this, and then, oh, I didn't know it was that bad, so that doesn't do it for me, so now I need to do this, and before you know it, boom, I'm shooting up drugs. It's like unintentional. Most people are lost unintentionally. And that's the first thing that we see. Here's the second thing, though, in this chapter, which I really love. And I love it because the first talked about how we get lost unintentionally. But in this segment, we find out that some people get lost because others have mishandled them. Let me say that again. Some people are lost because others have mishandled them. It says, what if a woman who has 10 coins, she loses one? The money didn't just get up and walk away. Money doesn't have the ability to move. I know some of us like to think that. Where'd you put my money? No, where'd you put my... What, it just got up and walked away, right? Like, we like to think it can just get up and walk away. But money doesn't just get up and walk away. No, money gets lost because people mishandle it. It's really even not the money's fault. Now, the sheep just is dumb, doesn't know what he's doing. Ooh, butterfly, ooh, gone, right? Money means someone who is supposed to manage it mishandled it. See, this is where some people are lost. See, the largest group of people got lost unintentionally, but then the second largest group of people, because remember, 1 out of 100. Now we're 1 out of 10. The second largest group got lost because teachers and preachers and churches mishandled them. This is something that we don't like to talk about, because we don't like to talk about how the church is at fault for people who are lost. So the second group of people who are lost is because somebody mishandled them. Some of you might remember things like this, like Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart, who there was some great infidelity and there was some great money laundering, some hard things that would hit the church. Maybe you have came from a church where the pastors or the leaders mishandled you, put things on you you weren't meant to carry, judged you, pointed fingers at you. Some of you might even have been hurt at a church before. There are tons of people who are not going to church because their attitude is, screw the church. The church ruined my mom and dad. The church said this was going to happen. I got duped. I gave money and the pastor went and bought him a new house. And then it got put on TV and television, and now what am I going to do? It's unfortunate because there are men. Here's what I want to say. Those men, Jimmy Swaggart, Jim Baker, didn't intentionally try to hurt the church. They got lost unintentionally. Just like me and you can get lost unintentionally, that's what happened with them. But when they got lost, the coins got mishandled. And so there's been people, you might even know of some, might be your siblings, might be your parents, might be your kids. Someone might have took advantage. There's a long time where it was in the paper earlier on in the 1990s, really the 2000s, where pastors were, it was coming out the closet that pastors had been molesting or fondling boys. And it was all in the paper and all in the news. And then people got real leery of, ooh, we're not too sure if we want to go to church because we can't trust pastors. Can't trust these men. Can't trust these churches. Oh, they're just all about your money. And all these negative thoughts that people have about the church would have never been there if the church handled the people with care. If the church would have just stayed the church, people would never have these ideas that the church just wants your money. See, we should be able to talk about money and no one act funny, because when we understand the heart behind it, it should be, we're just honoring God. We're just giving to God. But there's some people who got affected, got a tainted view because someone mismanaged them. This is that stuff no one really wants to talk about. See, some people were supposed to meet Jesus, and when they showed up, all they met was religion. Some people were supposed to just meet Jesus, and when they walked in the door, they were told, take your hat off. Come, go back home, put something nicer on, then come to church. You might not experience this, but there have been times, even our church was part of things like this. Couldn't wear hats. Women, you better have a dress on every time you come into the building. If you have sweats underneath, it's okay as long as you got a skirt on. I ain't even lying. This is real stuff, that part of what our church has gone through. No makeup, no fingernail polish. Don't adorn yourself. Men, you better be wearing a suit. People came in and What they met was religion. A form of godliness. Where we just want people to look it on the outside, but we really don't care what it is on the inside. As long as you look the part and act the part and can say amen and hallelujah at the right time, we don't care what your marriage is like. We really don't care what you're doing, because all we want to see is a visible. We want to see not. We don't want. We don't care about. We just want behavior modification. We want to see you change in front of us, but when you're away from us, we don't know. We don't want heart transformation. We just want behavior modification. And so some people walked into a church expecting to meet Jesus, and all they did was meet religion, and so now they're turned off. Oh, I don't like church. Oh, I don't like... No, no, no. The problem is you just haven't really met Jesus. You haven't really met Jesus. So there's a lot of people who have been hurt by the church. But there's some people who think they were hurt by the church, but they weren't. That's just you. When they told you stop doing that, they weren't trying to hurt you. They were trying to help you. When there was a leader in your life that told you, I really don't think you should do that. Oh, I'm leaving that church. Ain't going to tell me what to do. They're just hurting me. No. Sometimes some good pressure is good for you to bring out the better stuff in your life. But you can only make withdrawals if you're willing to make deposits. And some churches never deposit into people. All they wanted to do is make withdrawals. You need to do this, you need to do this, without first loving them right where they're at, depositing into them, building them, equipping them. That's why I have a voice in a lot of people's lives. Some of you in this church where I say a lot of stuff and then I'll hit you with that one punch. Boom. You're like, oh, I didn't see that one coming. But then you go, but I know my pastor loves me. You don't think, oh, he's rude. He's mean. You don't think that because I make enough deposits that every now and then I could go, boom, I got to take a withdrawal out. Got to take a withdrawal out. It's not even really me. It's God just dealing with us. But I guess what I'm trying to say is there's some people go, oh, the church has hurt me. They just took my money. No, you didn't want to be a giver. Don't blame it on the church. Oh, the church, they don't want to use me. No, you show up late all the time. The church didn't hurt you. You just aren't punctual. Oh, well, I'm the best singer in the building. They won't let me be on the worship team. Because you can't commit. Because you're not teachable. Because you're not willing to embody the culture. And then we say, oh, man, screw the church. They're just a big old club. No, it's just you don't want to participate. You don't want to show up on Saturday when we're cleaning the church. You don't want to be here when there was people busting their butt all days. And then you want to complain. See, that's the type of stuff where people go, the church. No, no, the church didn't hurt you. You're hurting yourself. Well, we'll get to you next week. But this week, yeah, just to be continued. We'll get to you next week. But this week, I want to focus that there are valuable and valid cases where people have been hurt and damaged by the church. And I want to say, on behalf of the church, we're sorry. We're sorry. If you are one that has been affected by the church, hurt by the church, taken advantage of by the church, hurt by some words that have been preached and spoken over your life, I just want to tell you, we apologize. That's not Jesus. And if anyone in this building has ever done that, we apologize as well. We're fallen individuals, but that's not Jesus. I might say something to hurt you, to offend you, but I'm just telling you, don't, yes, follow me as I follow Christ, but man, follow Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Because if you fall in love with Jesus, everyone else, they're not going to get in the way of your relationship. All that other stuff's not going to faze you. You're going to go, I know that's not God's heart, even though people have done that. I know that's not God's will, even though people have said that. I know that's not what God has for me, even though someone said that. You got to be confident that God still has the best for you. Yep. Some people have been misplaced by the church. Have you ever lost something like your keys? You ever lost your keys? Have you ever lost your keys? Yeah? I want you to say yeah, because I want you to understand you mishandled it. Have you ever noticed, though, when you lose your keys, what you do? Hey, babe, where's my keys? Hey, son, where'd you put my keys? I always put them right there. I know they're supposed to... Now, look. You mishandled them. I know. I would never put my keys there. Really? Then why are they in the freezer? Ain't nobody been to the freezer but you. See, here's the truth. They get mishandled because we put them in a wrong place, or we didn't take much care or thought for them. It was like today, I just got home, I just go and throw it in on the counter. And then normally when I wake up, it's by my bed. But this time when I woke up, it's not by my... Oh my goodness, where's my keys? They're in the same place you left them at last, on the counter. The problem is, you didn't pay much attention. You didn't care in the moment. It's just kind of careless. Just going to chuck it to the side right now. Or you left them in a jacket. You didn't take the extra precautionary measure to pull it out and put it in that safe place. Some of you don't have a safe place, Amber. Some of you don't have a safe place. But see, that's exactly how some have been treated by the church. That's exactly how some have been treated by the church. They came in the door and someone just kind of chucked them to the side. Never looking at them as valuable, worthwhile, potential, leader, great call. It amazes me. There's people who come to our church and we find out they were going to a church for like 5-7 years. And we're like, man, what'd they do at the church? Nothing. What? I can't get these people to leave our church. These people show up, they serve all day, they never go home. You mean to tell me at their old church they didn't do nothing? Could it just be that maybe some people just didn't see the potential? Maybe some people just didn't handle it with care. Maybe some people weren't willing to draw out, like put a little pressure on the coal to make the diamond sparkle. You know, sometimes you can walk into a building. I just got to be honest with you. Our church is all charcoal. I know we shine bright like a diamond. But we were charcoal. All of us didn't look like nothing but God. We came into a building and someone looked at the charcoal and say, yeah, you're going to shine. Yep, you... You're going to bling here in a minute, girl. Because you might feel like, is there anything good left in me? And I just want to be the kind of church that when someone walks in the door, we're like, absolutely. Come on. Let's take you to the Maker. He's going to put a little pressure on you. But you're going to come out shining like a diamond. You know, how do you find your keys? You know what I'm saying? You lose your keys. First it starts out. You look in the one spot you always put, it's not there. You go to the second spot you always put, it's not there. Then you go back to the one spot and you're like, it's not there. Then you start pacing, looking in places you ain't never been in your house. You go to the garage, you ain't been in the garage. You're checking junk drawers that you don't even know what's in there. It's been that long. You're yelling at everybody. Because everyone else, they're chilling, watching TV. You're not going to get up and help me? I got to be to work in 5 minutes. Right? You're arguing. You're yelling. And then the people, they don't know where the heck to look. Like, I don't know where you put your keys. You're sending me on a mission. I can't even help you. I'll go look. Where do you want me to go look? I don't know. Just somewhere. And then before you know it, pillows get thrown, seat cushions get taken off the couch, the house is a disaster, but But you don't care, right? You don't care. Because in that moment, the only thing that matters to you is, I must find these keys. See, that's what I want you to see about our church. That we are on a search and rescue mission. It might seem a little irrational. It might seem like, why go through all that trouble? It might seem like, oh, I don't know. Not too sure about that method or that thing. But I just want to let you know that our heart is for the one more. And we're on a search and rescue mission. And just like the Bible says, if you were a woman and lost your one coin, wouldn't you search every nook and cranny? Wouldn't you look everywhere in your house, sweeping it clean until... I love that. Until you find it. And when you find it, aren't you going to call all your friends and celebrate together? That's exactly what happens every time one sinner returns to God. We're on a search, rescue, mission. Things get messy when you're searching for the just one more. I want to put the disclaimer out there. Our church can never be a cookie cutter church. Our church always has to make allowances for people to do weird stuff that we're just not comfortable with. Weird in the sense that they might come in hungover and we invite them. They might still be on the drug that they've been doing for the last week. They might not be in the nicest attire because maybe they live on the streets. But when you're on a search and rescue mission, it gets messy. We just learn to play in the mud. We just learn to not be concerned about how dirty we get, to not be concerned. You know, we just want to be the kind of church that's willing just to love anybody. Yep, we gonna be that church. You better hold on tight to your purse. Because when you pray, someone might jack you. You better look at your neighbor and say, I'm watching you, watching you. I'm just saying, I want to have church in the wild. We don't got no time to sing Kumbaya, my Lord. We don't got time to be sitting here, just all rallied together in safe zone. We're not Amish. We're not trying to create a culture for ourselves that we can't get affected by the outside world. No. We invite the sinners, the strangers in. We say, come on in. Welcome home. There's room for you here. We've been looking for you. We've been expecting you. See, here's the truth, church. All methods go out the window. All that matters is finding them. When you're looking for your keys, all your other methods of clean and tidy house go out the window. Oh, I normally put a... You don't forget about normal. Right now, the couch is going to get moved 5 times. Because you looked once, it wasn't there. So then we're dumb enough to look again. Because maybe they're just going to magically appear on the 5th time, and sometimes they do. Whoa. Wow. My point is everything that makes sense in your mind, if you want to be about the one more, it has to go out the window. That's why we don't do church like most people think we're supposed to do church. Because we're not here to do things as normal. Normal isn't reaching those people. What we're called to do is let all methods go out the window and try something a little bit different so that someone can be welcomed home. Come on, church. Let's get in the rescue mission. Come on, throw your methods out the window. Invite someone at Walmart to church. Make a friend with someone that is waiting at your table. Extend an invitation. Make yourself available. Be generous. Come on, use a different method than what's normal to you. Exercise a new muscle. Try something just a little bit odd. And I guarantee you, when you do something odd for God, He will show up and He will do the incredible. Come on, who's your one more? Who's your one more? If you don't have one, start thinking of one. Get someone on your heart that you pray for daily, that you invite to church daily, that you're sending text messages to, hey, I'm just thinking of you. Hey, I just wonder how your family's doing. It might be someone you haven't talked to in a long time. It might be your brother, it might be your sister, it might be a cousin, it might be an enemy. Come on, who's your one more? Let that one more be the one that you go after. No one can reach that person like you. If God's placing them on your heart, He's giving you every provision you need to reach that person for Jesus. Come on, let's go after them. Invite them to church. Get them in the building. God will do the rest. Amen? Go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. Let me say this. First and foremost, maybe you're the one more. Maybe you're the one in the building who is in need of a Savior. Maybe you are the one who've been mishandled by the church. Maybe you're one of those people that I talked to that have been hurt, offended, got residue on your life from yesterday, your experiences in the church, by the church. Maybe your experiences are just not that great because maybe your parents took you to church, but when they got home, they got back on their alcohol. They went back to cussing you out and calling you all kinds of names. Maybe the inconsistency bothered you. It made you believe that all people who go to church are fake and phony. Maybe you're here today and you never expected to meet a church like this, to find a Savior like this, to see someone who will love you just the way you are on pursuit of where you're going. But if that's you, I got good news for you. Today I don't invite you. I don't invite you just to come to our church. I invite you to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved you, who died for you, who saw you at your worst, but still saw you as your best. And while you were charcoal, He saw the diamond inside you. You might feel like charcoal. You might feel like you're not good enough. You might feel like you're worthless, but God thought you were worth dying for. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me today, I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to get in relationship with Him today. I want to let Him take over. If that's you, with every eye closed and every head bowed, and you're saying, Pastor, will you pray for me? Will you lift your hand up all across this room? Yep. Mm-hmm. Hands are going up everywhere. Yep. 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 I got good news for you. Welcome home. God's got a great plan for you and a great future for you. Father God, I pray for every hand that was risen. God, that you would do a work in our life. That you would help them to understand how much you love and care for them. That today would start a new relationship, a fresh start. The old is past and the new is come. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.